T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Liz Clark will give us the inside access into how she saw all of that unfold. And Liz, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're doing well, thank you.
Good.
So how do you feel now that it's we at least we think we know what happened? How do you feel NASCAR handled all of this?
Sure. I think NASCAR really did everything right, and I am not typically an apologist or defender for NASCAR, certainly not out of hand. But particularly since seeing the image of the noose that ostensibly doubled as a garage pull yesterday, it puts in stark relief why you would respond so seriously, so quickly, and so adamantly, making clear that there's no place for symbols of hate in the sport. So just to recap for your listeners, it was a member of Bubba Wallace's team who found the noose or noticed the noose and then reported it Sunday night. NASCAR told Bubba Wallace, who had not seen it, drivers aren't allowed in the garage under the virus protocols. Within hours, they put out a statement condemning what they called a heinous act, and the FBI arrived the next morning, conducted its investigation, and then ruled it not a hate crime because they were able to establish that the noose had been there since last fall. So no one said, oh, no hate crime because there's no noose. They're just saying this noose couldn't have been directed at an individual because no one would have known Bubba Wallace would have been in that garage. It was a noose, but it was not a hate crime under, you know, the FBI's federal, you know, rubric or lens. NASCAR still continued its investigation because it wasn't happy about any news being in one of its garages.
Well, and Liz, there was a backlash with some backwards thinking people, and I'm going to put that on hold for right now. People who just seem to be of the mind that shame on NASCAR for letting anybody know about this before they knew anything. So those people, I don't know that you're ever going to get through to. But there are other people, Bomani Jones, for one, who I saw talk about this with Don Lemon on CNN last night, who believe that NASCAR did the right thing. But if you want to ding them, maybe you can ding them for not saying an alleged hate crime. You know what I mean? Of not couching that press release a little differently. Do you have a strong feeling on that one way or the other?
No, I totally understand it. And in fact, that's what the NASCAR president said yesterday in talking to reporters as NASCAR wrapped up its conclusions. He explained what we all know, that this is a highly charged, emotional time in our country. The racial tensions are high. In the NASCAR bubble, they're extremely high. After the sport banned displays of the Confederate flag, everybody knew that going to Talladega in Alabama is where you were going to feel some pushback, whether there were 5,000 fans or 50,000 fans. It wasn't going to play well there. So that's your backdrop. Phelps acknowledged that, and he explained that's why we took it seriously, period. And yes, perhaps in hindsight, I should have said alleged hate crime. Well, he didn't use the word hate crimes, but, right, you know, alleged, that he said maybe I should have used alleged. That's on me, full responsibility. But with the urgency, would have done exactly the same thing, followed the same protocol, the same steps. So I think that's a fine point to put on what really was a very proper, responsible response. And I say that because I've also covered, and if people think it through, we all know what happened at USA Gymnastics when USA Gymnastics, very high-profile sport, was getting report after report from the families of gymnasts reporting sexual abuse. And they put those reports in a file cabinet, and they told the athletes and parents, do not discuss this. We've got it handled. We're taking care of this. And months passed. So they dragged their feet. Other girls were molested. And eventually the FBI is called in. So that's kind of why I am very willing to defend NASCAR's strong, vocal, transparent, immediate response. And you see the images of that news that may have served this dual double purpose for grins or giggles or whoever thought that was funny or you know, worth doing. Who knows? NASCAR handled it great. I think the fine point of alleged is like a teeny tiny asterisk. Yeah, if you want to be a real quibbler, sure.
Talking to Liz Clark from the Washington Post. It's Inside Access for Jason Lockenfor and Ken Wyman. I feel like, Liz, I don't know what the reason is, but I felt like NASCAR had this great moment at the track on Monday with all the other drivers basically unifying with Bubba Wallace and pushing him towards the start. And the fact that this wasn't the hate crime that people thought it was, and people are screaming about whether NASCAR did the right thing or is Bubba Wallace, is this a hoax, which, by the way, is ridiculous. But I feel like that it's sort of putting on the back burner this great thing that happened on Monday in a sport that, quite frankly, has not been super African-American friendly through the years.
Totally agree with you that was a very powerful statement. In fact, in the visual, I mean, everything about it was profound. It was very emotional. It was a wonderful moment. And yes, indeed, the process, the way in which information about the investigations came out kind of played into the narrative of some extremists that this wasn't a hate crime at all, you know, or this was staged. You know, it became very quickly polarized between two camps who were going to be predisposed to saying the FBI in Alabama, whatever they say, I'm not going to believe, you know, right. And then another camp saying, oh, this is Jussie Smollett all over again. This is a stage thing. This is garbage. I know what a rope pull is. There was an intervening time where there were some images, some shown on a couple broadcasts that were not the right images, you know, that were of rope pull down. So we see in this people who've made a decision looking for images or descriptions that fit their what they want to believe. You know, very few people are reading the story, understanding what is said. So just to recap, the only reason the FBI said this is not a hate crime is because it couldn't have been directed at a single individual. They used the term noose four times in closing this case, the FBI. NASCAR used the term noose in describing the case. We saw it yesterday. It is a noose. There are some people quibbling over whether it has 13 turns, which in the old school South means that's how you make a proper noose. That's really an absurd rationalization why this is not a noose, because it might not have 13 turns. It clearly was intended to send a message, whether somebody thought that was funny or intimidating. I don't think we'll ever be established. But, you know, so the FBI, I just said, why they think it's not a hate crime. NASCAR still and throughout maintains this is cause for alarm, cause for concern, because they don't want any noose in their garage, whether it's named at a generic anybody or a single individual. It's just not symbolism they want, just like they don't want the symbolism of the Confederate flag in their infield.
Liz, I feel like you're the perfect person to ask this question to, because you covered NASCAR when it wasn't so hip, and you were one of the preeminent NASCAR writers when it was going to be the sport of the future, and you know it's getting higher ratings and all that, and you've seen the sort of breadth of this. Can you put the last 7 to 10 days in perspective for the history of this sport, to go from you know, Bubba Wallace saying what he said, and then them almost immediately saying, we're done with all Confederate flag imagery, to then have what we saw at Talladega and that show of solidarity, to now where it's become an internet, you know, it's become one of the preeminent international stories of the last, I don't know, week since
yeah.
that news was
well,
found.
Thanks for the kind words. And you distill that really well, Jason. But the reality, I mean, in many ways, this has long been the logical next step for NASCAR, banning displays of the flag. And that's lost on a lot of people, as it should be. I mean, the average person is not that steeped in NASCAR, but obviously it's been around for 70 years, this particular kind of stock car racing. It started in the South. It's now a national sport. So your vibe, if you go there, it's going to vary radically between going to a race at Talladega, Alabama, and Darlington, South Carolina, two places. You know, in my time, I never felt comfortable. I never felt welcome. I felt uneasy. It just has that vibe. Just like going in the Raiders locker room.
Right.
You know, every NFL team, as you know, Jason,
yep.
home games, visiting teams, visiting media, there can be a somewhat welcoming vibe. You know, Pittsburgh Steelers generally. And there can be other places it's like, whoa, you don't belong, you know, whether you're female, whether you're African-American, or you just never played strong safety. I mean, there are many ways in which you can feel, you know, excluded if you want to think about it. So NASCAR trucks are like that. NASCAR, at least 15 years ago, if not more, they banned displays of the Confederate flag on their race cars, driver uniforms, all their official merchandise. They didn't want it in the sport. If you were a vendor on their property, you could not sell anything, hat, shirt, flag, that had Confederate flag on that. That's been 15 years. After 2015, when there was the slaughter of 9 African-Americans in church in Charleston for the purpose of starting a race war, the governor of South Carolina, Nikki Haley, took down the Confederate flag. If you remember, that same week, the president of NASCAR made an appeal to fans and said, please do not bring your Confederate flags to our races anymore. We really don't want that image as a backdrop for our sport. Do not bring them. So you saw less of it. You saw it less frequently. But there are some tracks you're going to have your diehards. So they had been thinking, but stopped at the point, well, we really can't
punish, you know, right? We can't enforce.
We can't tell fans what they can't do. And so the events of the last 10 days, I'm sorry for this long answer.
No, it's great.
And Bubba's outspokenness, it all coalesced. Like, this is the time. This is the moment. We know we're going to lose some fans. It was not a knee-jerk reaction. It was eyes wide open. We do not want to entertain corporate CEOs, anybody, at our events, if they're going to have to look out and see the Confederate flag. You know, brands don't want to associate with this. Whether white or black, many families don't want to bring their kids here. They want to be inclusive and welcoming, knowing that they're going to lose an audience. Now, the way the calendar fell, the first kind of experiment here was at Talladega, Alabama, which is not what you'd want.
Right.
But that's what it was.
Liz, quickly before we let you go, we have this debate on the show. It's a simple question. We ask every guest this question. Are you a bar soap or body wash person?
Oh, good Lord.
talk about your probably, U-turns.
No, you'll think I'm a waffler, but it's what's on sale.
No, well, no, but if you could only have one.
And
for the rest of your life.
The purpose that serves for the greater good, just tell me.
This is complete. This is lunacy, but the first one of us to 50 wins.
Yes.
We're trying. The first one of us who gets 50 guests who are on their side.
I love games,
wins.
But I really prefer games of skill. But
yes.
Yeah, no, I'm a bar soap.
Yes.
Bar soap would be my choice. There's something, yeah.
No,
I'm with sorry.
You. You don't need to explain, Liz, because you're on the right side of history.
Actually, no, I don't. This is like nobody cares.
Well, Liz Clark, we really do appreciate your time.
That
was
so
great
that was
stuff.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, and have a great
you're
weekend.
Welcome. You're welcome. Bye, you
thanks,
guys.
Liz. Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.